Today's Bible reading is the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Now, please don't get perturbed by the fact that I have a book. I'm still very old school. And my kids did say to me, "Mum, why aren't you doing it on an iPad or something?" And I said, because if I get up there and the iPad fails, I've got no hope. And they said, yes, you're right, because they know what I'm like with technology. So anyway, and Pete, I did notice your name's still on the run sheet, so there's still a chance. If you want to do this, we're all good. I tried. Okay. An elderly lady was well known for her faith and for her boldness in talking about it. She would stand on her front porch and shout, "Praise the Lord!" Next door to her lived an atheist who would get so angry at her proclamations, he would shout, "There ain't no Lord!" Hard times set in on the elderly lady and she prayed for God to send her some assistance. She stood on her porch and shouted, "Praise the Lord! God, I need some food. I'm having a hard time. Please, Lord, send me some groceries." The next morning, the lady went out on a porch and saw a large bag of groceries and shouted, "Praise the Lord!" The neighbour jumped from behind a bush and said, "Ha-ha! I told you there was no Lord. I bought those groceries. God didn't." The lady started jumping up and down and clapping her hands and saying, "Praise the Lord! He not only sent me the groceries, but he made the devil pay for them." So this morning we're going to look at boldness. Although that story shows boldness, it may be lacking in some wisdom with how she dealt with her neighbour. But what does the Bible say about boldness and how do we act boldly? The boldness talked about in the Bible is an attitude of strong confidence in God. It is the act of confidently speaking or acting in the face of opposition or fear, trusting God for the outcome. Boldness is not necessarily a feeling. Sometimes people think that you have to feel bold first in order to act boldly. But boldness is in the world's eye. Sometimes boldness in the world's eyes is like seen as arrogance or pride. Instead, the boldness that the Bible talks about is quite the opposite. True boldness in Christ is more of a humble confidence in God's power and authority. You just need to step out, and then the Holy Spirit comes alongside us and gives us the boldness and strength we need to do something or what he might be asking us to do. The boldness that we see demonstrated in the Bible is one that is needed to live a life that is pleasing to God. It does not come from our own strength or determination. It is the result of surrendering control of our lives to him. It is being dependent on God and open to his leading. Let's look at an example of this in the Bible with the story of David and Goliath. It's found in 1 Samuel 17. I didn't put that down as a Bible reading today because it was quite long and I thought it might actually take longer than the sermon. Most of you are probably familiar with the story, but I'll just give you a bit of a brief outline. So the Israelites were fighting the Philistines and the Philistines had a champion that they called Goliath. He was no ordinary man. In order to grasp the size of Goliath, I want you to get a picture of him and how big he was compared to David. So David was probably the size of most of us, maybe even a little smaller. And I'm going to do it in like pounds and, metric. I can't even think of the word. Mainly because I don't know about you, but I did grow up with the metric system. But when it comes to the size of babies, when babies are born, somehow I always think of them in pounds. So I thought it might help. So Goliath was over 9 feet tall. or over 3 metres. So that's quite high. If you think of maybe a basketball ring, and it was still higher than that. So he was quite large. His spearhead alone weighed 15 pounds or 7 kilos. And his armour in total weighed over 200 pounds or 90 kilos. So probably his armour was about what David weighed. So he was an intimidating beast of a man. For 40 days, Goliath came out twice a day and taunted the Israelites. He challenged them to send their best competitor to fight against them. He'd come out and he'd say, "Israel, you choose someone to fight me. Let's not have our enemies keep fighting one another." So the idea was to have one person from each side. They'd have a big battle, and then whoever won, that side, would rule over the other side. And what he was really doing, he was trying to get Saul to come out, because it was said that Saul was head and shoulders above everyone, except, of course, Goliath. Enter David, who was sent by his father Jesse to bring supplies to his brothers and report back to his father on how the battle was going. So Jesse was the youngest of 8 sons. 3 of his brothers were in battle, and so the father sent Jesse out to take some food to them and then report back. He just happened to arrive at the time of day when Goliath was out strutting his stuff and he was calling for people to take him on. But David takes one look at Goliath and then at the Israelites who were cowering behind the rocks, and then he says, "Who is the uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" In this moment, he sees that the situation is not right, and this is not how God would want the situation to be playing out. So he decides to go to the king and he tells him that he is prepared to take Goliath on. His reasoning to the king is that because he's a shepherd, he's been out with his sheep at different times, and on several occasions he's come up against one, a bear, another time he's come up against a lion. But both those times he's been able to defeat both the bear and the lion because he's had God with him in order to do that. So he believes that God can do it again with Goliath. The king agrees and puts his own armour on David, which, as you can imagine, just swamped him. He just had, and it was heavy, and he goes, "I just can't do this. If I'm going to fight him, I can't be wearing your armour because I'll just trip over and I won't even be able to do anything." So instead, he took his staff in his hand. He chooses 5 small stones from the stream and puts them in his little shepherd's bag, whatever a shepherd's bag is. And then he takes his sling and he went and approached Goliath. Goliath looked David up and down and said to him, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? Come here and I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals." Feeling confident in knowing that he was where God wanted him and trusting God for the outcome, David responded, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Almighty God, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you." Now that's confidence, isn't it? So you know the end of the story. He stopped, knelt down to pray, and pleaded with God to help him as he was terrified. Oh, no, wait. That's not what happened. He took one small stone and put it in his sling, slung it around, went like that, and it hit Goliath fair in the forehead, and he fell face down to the ground. So David had a relationship with God, and he was confident that if he stepped out in faith with boldness, he could trust God for the outcome. But he had to take the first step. There's a story about Alexander the Great returning home after a battle, and they won. His infantrymen entered to the arena with cheers and music, leading the defeated, captured and bound enemy warriors. The celebration continued with the soldiers carrying the spoils of war, followed by the officers. The cheers erupted even louder as Alexander's chariot was spotted coming into the arena. A little boy managed to work his way to the front of the crowd, then tried to run to the chariot. But one of the burly soldiers caught his arm and jerked him back. "Fool kid, do you know who that is? That's the emperor." The boy answered, He may be your emperor, but he is my father. The boy was no fool. He enjoyed free access to the emperor that the cheering crowds and soldiers did not. He could approach the chariot of the emperor boldly. So it is with us. We enjoy free access to God. We can approach him boldly, knowing that he will lovingly accept us. In 2 Timothy 1:7, we read, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind." It is these things that produce boldness in us through God. He is our source of strength. This morning, I just want you to think about what giants are in front of you today. What oppositions are you up against? What steps are you going to take, and me, so that God can come alongside you and journey with you in what you need to do? I just thought this morning, if you feel comfortable, if there's anybody that wanted some prayer, this might be an opportunity, just as we have a song, if you wanted to just come forward and pray. I'm happy to pray with people, but I also know you have a team of people that are willing to pray. So maybe just as we sing the last song, we can just...